couple of weeks back, we had talked a little bit about if Jesus were on earth today. We talked about what he would not do. We talked about the fact that he would not ignore the hurting. He would not ignore the children. He would not ignore the individual. And he would not ignore the sin and its consequences. Tonight we want to talk a little bit more about Jesus, since he is our example and we're to be following in his footsteps. And we kind of focus this on if he were a preacher. And I know that most of you aren't preachers. But if we're going to be Christians, we're going to be Christ-like in a lot of these ways. And some of these things don't really just apply to a preacher. Those things I listed there, those are things that all of us as Christians need to think about, not just the preacher. So the same with these tonight, although this was originally framed in the circumstances of him being a preacher, because certainly that's what he was when he was here. He was a preacher, he was a teacher, and he was a prophet, and of course he became king. But tonight we want to look at some things that he would be and that he would do, and we'll look at some more another time. But tonight we just wanted to look at a few things here. First of all, he would be committed to excellence. I think one of the biggest problems that all of us struggle with is our tendency to be a little lazy, to just kind of think, well, I'm doing enough. I'm getting by. It's good enough. And we have phrases and sayings that we throw in. Don't work too hard. And we say things like that to each other. When in actuality, we need to be encouraging each other to work harder, and that we need to be encouraging each other to strive for excellence, not just be good enough, not just getting by, not just hanging on. Now, I know sometimes we're having a tough time just hanging on, but that doesn't need to be always the way we are in our lives. We need to be striving for excellence. We need to have a disdain for mediocrity. And I think Jesus, if he were here today, would have that kind of a perception of things. He always did the best. Notice when he did that first miracle at that wedding. Now, he could have just made wine that would have passed, that nobody would have noticed. But he made wine that was the best. So good that that they came to him and said, usually folks put the best one out at the beginning, and you saved it from now. Jesus didn't halfway do things. He wasn't happy with just doing enough to get by. And I think all of us have times where that's all we do. We think that, people ask, well, what do I have to do to get to heaven? Well, how many times do I have to come to church? Do I have to read my Bible every day? Do I have to give? Do I have to do? That's the wrong attitude. That's not the attitude Jesus had, and that's not the attitude Jesus wants us to have. Jesus wants us to have the attitude of, what can I do? Not what do I have to do? We need to be looking for opportunities to serve him better, to improve ourselves. And that's one thing that studying this lesson, I see this in Jesus' life throughout. And it's something that I need to put into practice in my life. It's something that as the leadership is working on, and on moving beyond it. Well, we just kind of let things go. Yeah, we can just, things just kind of flow along like we're going, floating down the river, and everything, it'll get us where we're going eventually. But that's not going to work. That's not good enough. Now, sometimes we see this with athletes. You'll find an athlete who has this incredible talent. They're so athletic and they can do so much. And so because they have that great athletic ability, they just coast. They just cruise through and they don't work hard. They don't train. They don't try real hard. They're not pushing to be the best they can be. We need to keep in mind that everything that Jesus did, He did to the best of His ability. Now, He wasn't a physical specimen. When we talk about Jesus was perfect, but that doesn't mean that He could dunk a basketball or kick an 80-yard field goal or something like that. Those weren't, you know, He wasn't necessarily physically perfect. He was spiritually perfect. He strove for perfection in the spiritual realm, not in the physical realm. But everything that He did to the best He could do it. And you think about the things He did. Can you think of a way you could improve the Sermon on the Mount? The best sermon that's ever been preached. He didn't just go halfway. He went for the best. He wanted to do the most He could do. He is a model of excellence. And He is an example for us in doing that. And we need to do that for Him. There was one preacher that moved into a new town, and he preached a sermon, and as the people walked out, they complimented him. One fellow came out and said, "You'll get better." Later on, the same fellow came back through the line and said, "You're going to grow." Later on, he came back through the line again. He said, "You preached a little too long." And the preacher was starting to get upset. He said, "You know, this guy just keeps coming through here saying these things." And so he asked one of the elders, and one of the elders said, "Oh, don't pay a bit of attention. He just hears what he just goes around repeating whatever he hears." So he just, you know, but see, these were all the things that the people wouldn't say to him, but that's what they were saying to each other. Well, we sometimes are concerned so much with just kind of saying something and getting by and saying the right thing to not hurt somebody's feelings, that we don't say the things that will really help, and we don't do the things that will really help. We just try to keep from ruffling feathers and those kind of things. And Jesus, He knew that, you know, if somebody's going to get better, they have to be told how to get better. And we can follow His example in becoming better in our lives. He can show us how to be a better child, a better friend, a better worker. There were times where He put others before Himself to such an incredible degree. One time when He and the disciples had been up for hours on end, and the people had been crowded, and they finally were about to get away, and said, "Let's go away so we can have some quiet time." And then here came a crowd, and He told the disciples, "You go on ahead. I'll go ahead and go, and I'll take care of the crowd." He put them ahead of Himself. He did everything with the idea of being the best that He could be in that thing. Secondly, if Jesus were on earth today, He would stay close to His source of strength. We need to realize that our source of strength comes from God. Jesus knew that. He knew that was His source of strength. And so we've got to stay in contact with that. We do that through studying the Scriptures. We do that through prayer. We do that through the encouragement that we receive from the other saints when we come together to worship God. But Jesus would be doing that. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, it says that Jesus arose a great while before day to pray. A great while before day. Now, I know folks who get up before the sun comes up to go to work. I know folks that get up before the sun comes up to go hunting. I know folks that get up before the sun comes up to go on a trip of some kind. I know folks that have to get up before the sun comes up to go to the bathroom. But when was the last time you got up before the sun came up just so you have some extra time to spend with your Heavenly Father? That's the kind of thing we think about doing. Well, I need to get my sleep. And yet we'll do that for these other things sometimes. He stayed in close contact. He prayed all night to God, according to Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. And he taught us in Luke 18 and verse 1 that we ought always to pray. Now that doesn't mean that we need to pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but that we just ought to always pray, not give up praying, not stop praying. Sometimes we read that passage that talks about pray without ceasing. And sometimes we get the idea that we ought to just go around praying all the time, every minute of the day. Well, that's not going to happen. We have other things that we have to do in life, and prayer is not the only Christian activity that we need to be involved in. But we need to not stop praying. There are some times in our lives where we stop praying for a week or 2 or 3 weeks, or even if it's just for a couple of days. We lose contact with our source of strength. Jesus didn't do that. He was constantly in contact with the Father. One situation, preacher was called by a church that not their new preacher. They called him and said, "We just don't think that our preacher ever prays. He's not a praying man." And he warned them, it won't be long before he's got some problems, before you've got some problems. And sure enough, it was not long at all before there were all kinds of problems with that preacher in his life. And he wound up being a scandal in the community because he wasn't praying. And we have the same problem in our lives. If we aren't praying, we're not in the right situation with God. If we're not praying people. The old saying, it's hard to stumble when you're on your knees. I know it's cliche, but it's so true. That's why cliches become cliches, because they're said so much because they're true. When we're doing what we need to do in prayer, it's easier for us to do what is right in our life, and it's harder for the devil to get to us. But then the third thing that we want to notice is that if Jesus were on earth, he would be a servant. He would serve others. Have you ever met somebody who was just too good to get their hands dirty with something? They just, I can't do that. I can't touch that. I can't go there or be with in that circumstance. They were afraid to do some regular work. Jesus was not that kind of an individual. He was a servant. Jesus, in fact, said, "He that will be greatest among you, let him be your servant. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." That's the way that Christians determine how faithful we are. Not by how many people we have serving us, but by how many others that we are serving. And we need to keep that in mind. Jesus came from heaven. He was the Son of God. And as such, he had every right to be born in a palace and to have everybody jumping at the snap of his fingers. That every time he called or whistled, they just come running to see what he needed. But he didn't do that way. He was born in a lowly place, in a lowly position. And he remained that way. And he himself said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And then he went on in Luke and the other Gospels record that he went on to, as the disciples came, they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And he tells them, you know, that the greatest should be a servant, and they still don't get it, and they're at the Last Supper. Here they are. He's been with them all this time, and he knows he doesn't have any more time left to teach them these lessons that he wants them to learn. And so they come into the room to have supper, and they're all dusty and grimy from walking down those dusty roads and sweaty. And unlike us, where we sit at the table and put our feet down under the table, in that society, you reclined at the table so that your feet were down there by somebody else's nose. You're kind of laying there, and the next person's laying there, and you're laying along beside the table, and your feet, and it, you know, that's not a very pleasant thing to have, is somebody's stinky, smelly, dirty feet up near your nose while you're trying to eat. Close to where you don't smell them while you're trying to eat. That's not pleasant. And so the disciples, having just heard Jesus teach them about how important it was to be the servant, should have been fighting each other to try to get to the water basin to see who could get to it first to wash the other one's feet. But instead, they just, you know, the meal was ready. And they're still sitting around with dirty feet, kind of wondering, well, who's going to take care of the job? Where's the servant to come wash our feet before we eat? And so Jesus got up, and he got the towel, and he got the water basin, and he washed their feet. They still weren't getting it. They were still thinking that I'm too good for that job. And I still hear people today that, well, I need a job. Well, here's a job. They're looking for somebody. Well, I don't want to do that job. That job, you know, that's too hard, or that didn't pay enough. Look, if it's an honorable job, if it's a legal, good moral job, and you can do that job, don't snub your nose at that. You know, sometimes people to look down on somebody because, well, that person, they pick up garbage all day. Well, aren't you glad somebody? We ought to appreciate those folks that pick up garbage. That is a hard job. And it's a smelly job. I know it's a smelly job. Sometimes you've got to do it. It's a horrible job. Somebody says, let's sweep up the parking lot. That's what you're supposed to do. Cleaning up the table for people to be here. But there are a lot of jobs. There are a lot of jobs. Some of the most best of the things, I guess, is one of the best of the things that 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 the best of
Yeah.
notion of no telling what success is. We will be successful. Just to let you know that Jesus was on earth today, he would be known. Because sometimes we see the public statement of the Bible saying that the Bible is kind of saying this, and you think, wow, you know what? How could everybody know that? Jesus didn't know what God was looking for. We know what God was looking for. First, Mark and other prophets. He was in the Bible. He was in the sort of street that everybody could see Mark and think, yeah, look at this. He's an atheist. 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 Looks like the same thing. And he has been in the temple, but he did no fulfillment. He was where he was in the east. There was ultimately a sense of and knows of me, for I am mute, totally set apart. And loveliness of him. What are the virtues that he's studying for himself? That's kind of interesting. Just to think about that. Thank you.
that he
give us, Father, as the name of Christ in our lives, and put us on that. Give us over with it.
He could have had that idea. He could have just given it up. But he didn't.
Thank you.